that the Vasmalka, that the daughter of the king, Lemeka Mekuna, she should stand by herself. In other words, she has to have at least one attendant. So therefore, Gabriel left her an attendant. This would account then that Amasa means her shifa. Ulaman Rama Yoda. And how about the one who says that Amasa means her hand? Lichta Yoda. Why doesn't the Torah say Yoda, her hand? Says Hokam Ashmolon. This is to teach us the Ishtabev Ishtabuva, that her hand actually stretched out. In other words,
longer.
Got longer. You know, she had a good reach. She seemed able to bring in Moshe Rabbeinu. The Omar Mar, as one of the masters said, "Chenato Moitzei Barbosa Shobas Paroi." It's the Gemara in Megillah. He says, likewise, you find concerning the Omar of the door of Pharaoh. Likewise, you find this also in reference to the teeth of the wicked. The Yitziv, where the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shine Rishoyim Shibarto, right? You broke the teeth of the wicked. The Yomar Reish Makish, the Reish Makish said, Al Tikre Shibarto, don't say Shibarto, Ela Shibarto. Rather, you made the teeth extend, they became like fangs, so to speak. Okay. All right. Well, we'll do a couple of more lines and we'll call it night. Okay. Okay. Vatiftach vativeves hayelet, right? So then it's written that she opened up the box, right? And she saw him, the child, literally. Okay? Because I'm now translating very literally. Naturally, if we don't translate it literally, we take it in the pshat, which is, you know, she opened it, right? And she saw the child, right? But naturally, the drash is based upon the fact that this is literally what it says. It says, Vatera Miboyle. It should say simply Vatera. In other words, the pasuk should have said, Vatera is Hayelet, right? She saw the child. So why does it say, Vaterehu is Hayelet? So Omar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Kanino, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Kanino said, Sheroa so Shino Imo. Right. He saw the divine presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom with him. All right, go back to it. Vatirehu es hayelet, right? And she saw him. Now, how do we translate the word es then? The answer is, in that case, you'd have to say, with hayelet. He saw him together with the child. In other words, who did she see? She saw the divine presence together with the child. Okay? Just take a look at the Rashi, and we'll call it a night. Okay? There isn't too much Rashi at this point. Chenu Omer, right? Yes, Jehashav, that the person who, does tshuva, umisnake me adam, and he cleanses himself from his sins, korui rachutz, is called someone who is washed. So, you know, that's a reference to Bas Paro, that she was washing herself to shame Gerus, in order to become converted and turn to a new life, right? Then we said that, you know, Herlech in this Loshon Nisa, it says from the Kodesh Miyazil, as it says, Sheroyu Mamchos Biyodo Hatzolaso Shel Tzadik. These women, right, her attendants, what did they do? They were protesting the fact that she wanted to save the child, save this righteous child. Then the Omar Mar, we have a statement in the Gemara in the Megillah. It says, "Gabe Shavit Hazohav d'Achashverosh," concerning the golden scepter of Achashverosh. Maseches Megillah. Obviously, it's the same idea. Namely, what? That, you know, here he was sitting on the throne, right? And he sees Esther over there, and you know, Baruch Hashem, he felt good towards her, right? Put forth, you know, he stretched forth his shardit, you know, his scepter, right? And then, you know, Vatigav Reshul Shavit, and then she came and she touched it. So that meant that the life was spared instead of being put to death for coming in uninvited. All right. So at that particular point, so we find that he brings proofs in the Gemara Megillah to show, you know, that stretching, that in other words, Achashverosh stretched it out. In other words, it extended more than it normally would have. And parallel to this is the story of Amasa, namely the daughter of Pharaoh's arm, right, that also it extended far enough to be able to save Moshe Rabbeinu, and also the business about the teeth of the wicked, that they too become extended. Right, Mishnei Rishoyim says, the Oig Melech HaBoshan says that Oig Melech HaBoshan had long teeth like fangs, the Maseches Brachos, the Tchilas Perek HaRev, it's the last chapter over there where they speak, if you remember, how the people of Israel had to make war against Oig Melech HaBoshan, and you know, miracles happened, that remember they were encamped on two sides of the mountain already, and the people of Israel had to go in the valley, and they figured they were going to hurl, you know, stones down, and you know, shoot arrows at them, and so be able to do it. And instead, Rabbeinu Shalom performed the miracle that the people of Israel were able to escape safely. So again, you know, Oig Melech HaBoshan, you know, he didn't like it, and his teeth too became long as a result. He gnashed his teeth. Okay. All right. We'll stop at this point and continue next week in Yitzchak.
Yeah, sure, on other days.
Right. So we are on other days. Your days are the days right now. And of course, I think that all of you know my son-in-law, Rabbi Yossi Granovsky, Yavor David. Yossi, have you had a chance to meet everybody?
Okay.
Okay.
So it is July 16th, 1997.
Okay, yes, we're on Yud Beis, on the Beis, okay. In other words, this would be 12, second side, right? On the top it says 24, but that's only Goyish counting, not Jewish counting. Jewish counting, it's Yud Beis, on the Beis, okay. Alright, you see that beautiful little design?
Mm-hmm.
That's the line where we are. Okay? Alright. Pasuk then says, "Vatiftach vatireu es hayelet," right?
Mm-hmm.
That she opened, that is the daughter of Pharaoh, right? Opened up the little box in which Moshe Rabbeinu was floating, right? And she saw him literally es hayelet, the child. This is, we would take it exactly word for word. This is what it says in the text. Okay. However, Shemora says, "Vateru boile." She simply have said, Vatera, she saw the child, and that's it, right? Why does it say she saw him, the child?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, he says, Shera saw Shechina imo. She saw that the divine presence was there together with him. It's derived from the fact that the word es in Hebrew also can be a preposition that means with. So in other words, his drash is based upon the fact then that she opened up the little box, right, and she saw him, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, she saw him, meaning the Rabbeinu Shalom, she saw the divine presence together with Es Hayel, together with the child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the Pasuk says, you know, continuing the story about finding little Moshe Rabbeinu, right, it says, and behold, now we translate it in English, a child was weeping, right? However, as you know, from the point of view of Hebrew language, the word nar is not really an equivalent for the idea of the word yelet. Yelet is a young child, as a normal rule. And nar already implies someone who's in an older stage, let's say like a youth. I mean, that's one translation of the word, right? A teenager, if you wish, or something like that. This is a nar, okay? So, question is, why does the text use, you know, why does the text in the Torah use the word nar at this point? Why did it do exactly what it said just a moment ago, right? Es hayelet.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, kori le yelet, the kori le nar. Says here the Torah refers to him as a yelid, and here it refers to him as a youth. Tana. So we have a tradition that says, who yelid, he, Taka, was a child, right? The kolo kenar, but he had a voice like a young man, like a youth. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's explanation for this. So Amalei Rabbi Nechemya, so Rabbi Nechemya said to him, not so. It says, why? Because it says Im Kain, that's what the Aleph Kaf stands for over there. If this is the case, Asiso le Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Mum, you have made Moshe Rabbeinu a person with a blemish.
Mm-hmm.
What is the blemish? So Rashi explains. All right, let's take a look at the Rashi right now. Okay. First of all, Rashi Shorasa Yimo Shechina, line 4 over there on the top of the page, it says, V'hai Es, he says, the word Es is Loshan Im. It means together with, okay? Kimo lo Sholach Yaakov is Echod. It's a pasuk which says, you know, that Jacob did not send Benjamin Es Echod. In other words, Es here is not the direct object, but it means together with his brothers. And of course that's the story about, you know, he didn't send them down to Egypt at the time when he sent 10 brothers of Joseph in order to come and bring back food for the family. Okay, so we see over here that the word Es can mean together with. They could have quoted a lot of other places too. I mean, it's not unusual to find it. From the point of view of grammar, I wish my friend David were here already, since he always wants to know about Hebrew grammar. But you know that in Hebrew, prepositions take endings. They take what we call personal endings, possessive endings, if you wish, okay? So, if I wanted to say S is the direct object, how would I say, for example, he sees me, right? Where me is the direct object. So you have to say huro er or T. In other words, that is the direct object. Even though it comes from the word et, right? But still, you say oti, otchal, tach, etc., etc. Okay? The only exception is etchem and etchem. But all the others use ot plus the personal ending. On the other hand, how about the preposition et, meaning together with? The answer is then you say iti, itcha, ite, itito, ita, etc., etc. So that this is the way we differentiate between them. Okay. So anyway, the word et, as Rashi points out, you know, this gives us the reason for the drash, namely that she saw him, namely the Shekhinah, the divine presence, together with the child. He was there watching over the little baby. Now, the word nar, as we see, godol mashma, I mean, it indicates somebody who is older, right? Now, what did Rabbi Nechemiah say? He said to him that if you interpret the word nar, that he had the voice of a nar, not a fool in Yiddish, but but a the voice boy. Of a young man, so to speak, right? The who Levi, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was a descendant of Levi, right? His father Amram was a Levite, he was a Levite. So, v'nifsa b'kol l'avodas hashir. The law is, you know, that one of the main jobs of Levim is to sing in the chorus, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Well, what would happen if his voice doesn't sound the same as the others? In other words, let's say they're all singing soprano and all of a sudden he comes in with a bass voice or something like that. You understand? So that being the case, it means that he becomes invalid as far as performing his job as a singer in the temple choir, you see. Okay? So, if that's the case, the Rabbi Yechemia says, you're telling me that he is a Baal Mum, he's a person with a physical blemish. So, that being the case, Ela Melamed, rather, the text teaches us something very interesting. It teaches us, She'osas loy imoy chupas ne'urim batevo. The reason why the word na'ar is used over here in the text is because it teaches us that his mother made for him a chuppah that we give to young people, for young men, people when they get married, right? In other words, she made like a little chuppah covering over the ark. You know, when I say ark, I mean it's not an ark, it's a box, you know, which Moshe Rabbeinu was, right? And put it, you know, to cover the box. And Omra, why did she do this? She said, Shema loy eskel chuposei, right? Maybe I will not be I won't deserve, literally, or I won't have the merit, this is a much better translation, I will not have the merit of seeing him go to the chuppah. So, that being the case, I want to at least have a feeling of it right now. When I see this, I remember something that we had long, several years ago, when we were learning Kedusha. At the very beginning of the second chapter over there, in Kedusha, there is a small Tosfos that deals with a very tragic period in Jewish history. You know, Rashi, Tosfos, and so on, they lived during the time in which the Crusades were taking place. And we also know, of course, that there were communities in the Rhineland, in France, in Germany, and so on, which suffered not just persecution, but actually they were murdered by the Crusaders. Okay, so at that particular point, Tosfos has a little passage to say that at that time they permitted the betrothal of young children, boys, girls, and so on. They would arrange marriages because they said, "Let us at least have a betrothal ceremony before, you know, we all die," or something like that, because life was so uncertain at that particular point. But of course, then Tosfos says, but as a normal rule, it's wrong, of course, you know, to make a shidduch for a child, because obviously, to make a shidduch, a man or a woman has to be mature enough to understand what is the nature of marriage and to be and to enter into it willingly, and you know, not under compulsion or anything like that. So here she wanted to have this zechus, this merit of being able to feel as if she were participating in his marriage, even though he was only a little child at that point. We continue then with the text, and it says, "Vatachmol alav." In other words, Pharaoh's daughter took pity upon him. Vatomer, and she said, "Mialdei ho'ivrim zeh." This child is a Jewish child. Now, of course, we could ask two questions. Okay, one is how the Gemara is going to give a teretz. But the other one is, how would she know that this was a Jewish child? If you remember, the other week when we were learning that Pharaoh decided he was not going to take any chances, right? What was he going to do? He was going to order that on this particular day, any boy to be born, you know, that's all it says is, "Kol ha-bein ha-yelod ha-yeoret ha-shlichuhu," right? Any boy to be born is to be thrown into the Nile. And v'chol abbas, any daughter is to be t'chayun. You're permitted, you know, to keep them alive. Okay, but we learned at that time, you know, that when his astrologers, it's tagdino, the word that we'll come across as we continue tonight.
Warned.
Right, they warned him that today the Moshiach Shel Yisrael is being born, but we don't know. They said whether he is an Egyptian or whether he is a Hebrew. So Pharaoh therefore decided, throw them all into the Nile, anybody born on this particular day. So that's why...
How did she know? How old was he when she put him in a terror?
He was 3 months old.
He must have been circumcised.
Well, this is the answer that the Gemara is going to give. This is the traditional explanation, okay? But the Gemara wants to know, right? How did she know that he was a Jewish child? Maybe he was not a Jewish child, but he was an Egyptian child, right? After all, remember, this is before she
took
him out of the box, right? Okay. She saw a child over there, and so on, so this is why. So, Omar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, so Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi gives the explanation that you said, namely, Shara'aso Oso Mahul, right? That she saw that he was circumcised. Of course, we learned also the other week, if you remember, that this was like a miracle that he was born circumcised already, so that he didn't have to undergo actually the ceremony of circumcision. Okay.
We would have had the naked then.
Yeah.
Presumably, he was naked in there. Yeah.
He didn't have any swaddling
clothes. No swaddling clothes. The Pampers had not yet been invented. Then it says, Biyaldehu Ivrim, right? Zeh. So this is the word. What is Zeh? This. In other words, this one. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Melameshin is Nabi Oshon Omidata. Teaches us that Pharaoh's daughter gave prophecy. She was like a prophet, right? Even without knowing that she was a prophet, that she was, you know, she was speaking prophecy without even realizing it. Okay? Zeh, no fail. V'yein acher, no fail. Alright? Zeh, no fail. Literally, this one is falling in, and no one else is falling in. Very mysterious, right? Mm-hmm. So thank God we got Rashi. So let's take a look at Rashi now. Okay.
Were you in Rashi?
Yeah, the last word on line 4 says V'en Acher no film, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else is falling what? Laya or into the river. She'osa yom botlu gezerasom or bitlu gezerasom. Because on that particular day they abolished the decree, and so therefore Zeh no fail, in other words this one was put into the river, literally fell in, but the means was put into the river, but nobody else was on that particular day. Okay.
They abolished the
yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll see in a few moments why. Okay? A little patience. Alright. No Haina Rabbi Elazar, and this is in accordance with what Rabbi Elazar said. My desir, what is the meaning of? The chi yomur aleichem Yeshua lehovos v'al yidonim hamsavsvi v'amagim. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which says, and if they say unto you, who is they say unto you? In this particular case, Rashi interprets it as meaning the astrologers, the false prophets, and so on. They say to you, seek the ovos. Ovos means, you know, like necromancy. In other words, you try to communicate with the dead and so on, right? The El Hayidonim, these are the wizards, people, you know, who have so to speak esoteric knowledge, at least they claim they do, right? Sapsifim, those who practice magic by chirping, sapsif, you know, like a bird, they sound, right? Agim, or those who mutter in their breath or something like that. The word hege in Hebrew means like a breath, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says those people, they were tzofin, v'einam yodim atzofin. In other words, these astrologers and magicians, whatever you want to call them, right, they had a vision. That's tzofin. In other words, they saw something but they didn't know what they were seeing. Okay? Magim, they were muttering. V'yenin yodim amagim, they didn't know what they were uttering. Ra'u, they saw what? Shemoshion shel Yisrael b'mayim hulokem. They saw that the one who is destined to save the people of Israel would suffer calamity as a result of water. Right? So amdu v'gosru, so that's why they went and they made the decree which said what? Kol habein hayulod hayul hashlichuhu. That any son to be born is to be thrown into the river. Right? So kevin l'shad yuhu l'moshe. Now, the moment that they threw Moshe into the river, Amru, they said, tu lo chazinut kehu simona. We no longer see this particular sign. In other words, before they said, we have a sign, seeing that, you know, that the Savior of Israel is going to be born, but at this point they no longer see the sign. So as long as they don't see the sign anymore, right? So what happened? Botlu Gezerasu. So that the result was that they abolished the decree. So far we see, you know, that this justifies the statement that we have just a few lines above, that Zen no fail, that in other words Moshe Rabbeinu would be falling into the river would be cast into the river, but in Acher. There's nobody else who would suffer the same fate, because we see that the Gezerah, in other words, the decree, you know, ordering this, this was now abolished. And now the Gemara continues and says, Behem ein yodin, einon yodin shal mei mevivahu loke. But what they didn't know was that, you know, the fate that Moshe Rabbeinu would suffer coming from water, this was not the water of the Nile, but what was it referring to? It's referring to the waters of Meriva, you know, that we read in the Torah this just this past week. The place where the people, of course, argued and they put up a fight with Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Ravu b'nei Yisrael in Moshe, right? And, you know, that they wanted the water, and they got him so exasperated, you know, that instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it, and so the result was that one of the Rabbeinu Shalom tell to him that, you know, he would no longer be able to lead the people of Israel into the land, because he had caused people, he had lost faith and caused people to lose their faith. So, yes, he suffered, you know, this decree because of water, but it was the wrong water that they were talking about. Okay. V'hainu de Omar Rabbi Choma, b'Rabbi Chanino, and this is what Rabbi Choma said, the son of Chanino, he says, my d'chsiv, what is the pasuk, which, what is the meaning of the pasuk where it says, Hema, these are Mei Meriva, the waters of Meriva, Asher Ravu, where they quarrel. He says, Hema, in other words, this is the water, Shero Itztagdine Faro, right? That Pharaoh's magicians actually did see. They did see water, and they knew that water would be associated with a calamitous fate for Moshe Rabbeinu. But it was Hema, it was the waters of Meriva, and not, you know, that of the Nile, right? The Tov, and they made the error. The Haina Tekoma Moshe. And this also is in line with what Moshe Rabbeinu said, when he said, Sheish Mayos Elef Ragli, right, that there are 600,000 foot men, literally, you know, in other words, males who are old enough to be in military service, right? Well, they had Moshe in Israel. So Moshe said to the people of Israel, he said, Bishvili Nitzaltem Kulchem. He said to the people of Israel, you know, it was because of me that all of you were saved. In other words, if it weren't for the fact that they immediately canceled the decree after he was put into the river, then none of these young men would be alive. Mm-hmm. So that therefore he said, you know, you really owe your lives to me. It's because of what happened to me that, you know, you have been saved from death. Okay? Let's take a look at the Rashi and then we'll get back to our text. Okay. Alright, first of all, Rashi wants to explain, you know, the pasuk that we had. V'chiyomru aleichem. See where we are over there, in the Rashi. As you see Yeshaya on the side?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, V'chiyomru aleichem. It says, so ovdei kachovim. In other words, when the idolaters will say unto you, Yeshu, kemoseinu el ha'ovos, why don't you, you know, use necromancy and, you know, magic and so on, just as we do? And then, who are the hametzatzahim v'hamahagim? So he says, Novi, a prophet, kori loshen genai. What he means over here is that the prophet Yeshayahu, this is really what he means, right? The prophet calls, using satirical language concerning these magicians and astrologers and so on, he says, Shehem mitzavtzafim ka'agurim, he says that these magicians, these astrologers, he says, they chirp like cranes. Ogur is a crane, you know, long legs, right? Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of noise. So he says they chirp like cranes, umagim kayoinim, or they coo like pigeons. In other words, you know, this is the verb that's used for the pigeons, the sound that they make. Motzi'in kol begronom, right? So they make noise in their throat. V'ein yodim ma'omrim, but they don't know what they're saying. So kach derech itztagdinin, right? This well, what he's saying is that just as, for example, birds chirp, but, you know, they don't know what the message is, right? So likewise, he says that Kach derech Yitzhak Dinan. This is the way also of these magicians. Einon roin ela simon. Right? They do not see except for a sign. Avol lo perisho shel kol davar. They may see something, he says, but they don't know the meaning of what it is, you know, that they were seeing. Okay. Rose says it's Tagdine Faro, right? The magician Pharaoh saw, you know. And then Shemoshion Shol Yisrael, in other words, the one who is destined to save Israel, right, we said would be Loke Bamayim, right? That he would suffer fate through water. Vahach Milse Lav Rabbi Elazar Kolmar law, he says, this particular idea, says it wasn't Rabbi Elazar who said it. The Korah Lav Amitzvim Kai, because the Pasuk, it says, is not really speaking about the Egyptians. After all, I mean, the waters of Meribah and so on, right? Hemimei Meribah, in reality, does the Torah speak about the Egyptians at that point? No, he says. But, he says, Ele Gemara Koma, but rather this is a tradition. Gemara over here means not the book, but Gemara means, you know, something that has been handed down as a tradition, without usually an authorship being ascribed. Mm-hmm. In other words, an anonymous teaching, okay? Yeah, Gemara Kamala. The Kai, right, understands Ahor concerning this, Tamrinun the ill, what we have said about. The Yain Acher no fail, right, that nobody else actually was cast into the river except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And as far as the statement of Rabbi Elazar, who said that, you know, the it's Tagdinin, in other words, the magicians, they don't know what they are uttering. So he says, Hilkoch, for that reason, Ro Hamitzvim. So the Egyptians saw, they saw something, but they didn't know what they saw. Then in Rashi continues and says, Kevin the Shadyun the Moshe Mamayim, the minute that they put Moshe into the water, so calls Bansho Yobaya or right? As long as he was in the river, Ein Lokus Gedola Mizu. There was no worse fate that he could possibly do. In other words, there was the possibility that he would be drowned or something, right? Uvotla, Simon Shalakia. And so therefore the sign that they were looking for that said, you know, that the savior of Egypt is going to suffer a dire fate, right? From that point on, it disappeared. And that's why they said, you know, now we can abolish the decree. Right, yeah. Then he says, right, 600,000 ragli. Mm-hmm. So ragli, Rashi has an interesting interpretation. As I said, we translated as, you know, men who serve from the word regal. But in reality, first of all, I have to tell you, in the Arabic language, the similar word, in other words, you know, with the letters resh, gimel, in Arabic, it's a jim, okay, lamed, this means a man. So obviously, you know, there's a connection between the idea of ragli and the idea of ben, right? However, we also have in Hebrew the expression l'ragli, l'regel, l'ragli, l'ragel, and so it means, right, because of me or because of you and so on and so forth. For your sake, for my sake, I mean, it could have these, you know, shade of meaning. So this is how Rashi takes it right now, okay? He says that ragli, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, ragli, it was bishvili, it was for my sake, right? That what? Nitzaltim, right? That you were saved from death at the hands of Pharaoh. And he explains, how do I know the word ragli has that meaning? So he says, Kamo, we have a posik. It's written by Yevorach HaRishem Oschol HaRagli. Does anybody remember where it is? Little test. Okay. The posik occurs when Jacob is anxious to get back home and escape from Laban. And, you know, Laban catches up to him and starts into giving him, you know what, for running away and taking Laban's daughters, who of course Jacob's wives and so on, and the grandchildren, you know, mm-hmm. taking them all and so on. So, you know, Yaakov talks back to him, right? And he says, look, you made life miserable for me and so on, right? I worked for you day and night in the heat and cold and so on. If the sheep was ever taken, you know, let's say eaten by a wolf or something like that, I personally made it good. You never lost anything as a result of it. And, you know, everything, you know, that, you know, has happened, but it's good to Laban that he suddenly became wealthy with great flocks. It's by Baruch Hashem, right? It was because God had blessed him for my sake. The Ragli, you see. So this is how Rashi takes it over here. So this is why we can have a drash which says, Ragli, right? Shesh Bios Ragli, these 600,000 who were saved from the from Pharaoh, it was Ragli because of me. Okay. The Gemara continues now. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa says, Oso Hayom Esrim V'Echod B'Nisan Hoya. He says, that day, meaning of course, the day upon which Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the water and then saved by Pharaoh's daughter, what was the date in the calendar? So according to him, it was the 21st day of the month of Nisan. Okay? Omru Malochi Ashos Dei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ministering angel said to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said they were Bedu Shalaylam. He says, Mi Sha'osit Loma Shira Al Hayom Bayom Zeh Yukabiyom Zeh? Are you going to destine the one who will one day lead the people of Israel in song on this day? You're going to make him suffer punishment on this particular day? In other words, are you going to destroy him even before he'll have the opportunity to lead the people of Israel? Now, how do we know it was the 21st of Nisan, according to him, right? Okay, so the answer that we have, God bless Rashi. Okay. All right. It says, Shira al Hayom. You see it over there? Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. In other words, the day that they're going to sing the song of deliverance, you know what we say every single day in the davening, right? Oz Yosha. Mm-hmm. They're going to say it. So when was Oz Yosha's song on the first time? It was B'chof Aleph B'Nisan Nevra, right? It was on the 21st day of Nisan. Kedetanya B'Seder Olam. As we have a tradition in the Seder Olam. Now the question is, what is the Seder Olam? Seder Olam is one of the earliest works of Jewish history. It dates back to the time of the Talmud, when they were already writing histories, okay? And so, in the Seder Olam, we have that they, you know, you figured out that Beiram says the Sukkos, or Mesukkos le'esom, me'esom le'tnei piachi roz, harei gimel. People of Israel, when they left the land of Egypt, right? So where did they go to? First, they went to a place called Ramses, right? They left from Ramses. And where did they go? The first stop was in a place called Sukkos. And then from Sukkos, they went to a place called Esam. And then from Esam, they went to a place called Pi Hachiroth, right? So that's already three different stages. In other words, that is already 3 days, right? All right. What day did they leave the land of Egypt? Of course, they left on the 15th day of the month of Nisan, which is the day of Pesach. Right. Remember, the Korban Pesach and the very first Seder that they made, this was, you know, at evening of the 14th, right? In other words, the sheep or the goat, whatever they were using, you know, had to be slaughtered in the afternoon, Bein Harbaim, right? And then that evening, you know, they roasted it and they ate it together with matzah and morer, and of course, you know, that they smeared the blood on the right, and they were ready to go. But when did they actually go? They didn't go at night. They left the following morning, which was the 15th. Okay? All right. So now that takes care of 15, 16, 17. Right? Okay. And then it's written, Baravi, on the fourth day, what happened? By you, God, Lemelech Mitzrayim, Kivarachom. Right? It was told to the king of Egypt that the people had escaped. Apparently, Pharaoh was unaware that they had escaped. Mm-hmm. And so now he got the news, right? Okay. Chamishi v'shishi. Then, the fifth and the sixth day, Pharaoh was busy. What? Rodfu Mitzrayim, right? They were busy pursuing the people of Israel. Or Shavi, the morning. Of course, Or could also mean not the morning, but Or could also mean the night. Mm-hmm. All right? So, we'll take it as the eve of the seventh, all right, or the night of the seventh. Why? So Yordo Layod, they went down into the ocean. Shenema, because the pasuk says by Yoer es Halayla, in other words, he made the night become bright. The Shachris Adar. So, in other words, during the time that while it was evening, the people of Israel were crossing over to safety, because you know, it was so bright that they were able to see their way, and at the same time the army of Egypt was pursuing them, right? And then the Shachris, when it was the morning of the seventh day, right, Omar Shiva, that's when they said Oz Yosha, because then they saw, you know, that the miracle had taken place on the Red Sea and so on. So the Yom Shvi Hoya, right, and it was Shvi. The Yom Tov Achron Shel Pesach Hoya, and it was the last day of Pesach. Of course, this is in Eretz Yisrael, that it's the last day of Pesach. I mean, as we know, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you are a Ben HaTfutzot, a Ben HaGola, or a Chutz La'aretzdik, as they say, a Chutz La'aretzdik, right? Then in that particular case, you're always in a quandary. What do? They celebrate Shvi Shel Pesach as the last day of Pesach. We, unfortunately, if we expect to go back to Golus, so we have to keep an eighth day. I mean, the way we do in the